F&M Bank phone line, MTSU football coach Rick Stockstill. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, Coach.
Morning, Greg, John. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Doing great.
Before we talk about the win Friday and obviously homecoming, Southern Miss is coming Saturday, I want to promote something I had been meaning to before. This coming Friday night at Reese Smith Field, a celebration of life for former baseball coach Steve Peterson, who passed away last year. And, of course, a lot of, you know, because of everything that was going on with the pandemic, really didn't get to have this kind of celebration of life for him. It's 6 o'clock, 6:30, Reese Smith Field. Rick, what a great man Steve was. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Oh, no question. It's, it was really – out of everybody's control last year that they couldn't celebrate him because of everything going on. So I'm glad that we're able to, this year, because, he had not only such a big impact on Middle Tennessee baseball, but just all the guys' lives, the people that played for him, other coaches or other administrators in this building, everybody that he came across, just the respect that everybody had for Coach Pete. And, he left a legacy, something to be, I know those guys that played for him, they'll say how much he impacted their life as well. So it's a great tribute to a great man.
Just the numbers alone, 791 wins there, 944 all. He's in five different halls of fame. He coached 44 first-team All-Americans. That's a crazy number. But I just wanted – it's Friday night. If you want to RSVP, Stinnett, of course, Tony Stinnett, but Stinnett at BlueRaiders.com, and it's free. They're going to have food and everything. And just everybody, if you can, if you knew Coach Pete – it's going to be a really nice event. I'm really looking forward to just going and sharing the fellowship of, because he was a good. He took me fishing one time, Rick, and it was one of the best times in my life. Just sitting him. Can you imagine all the stories? But anyway, I wanted to mention.
I've gone fishing with him too, and if he's not in the, if one of those five Hall of Fames aren't the Fishing Hall of Fame, he needs to be in a sixth one, because that sucker, he knew more about how to catch a fish than Bill Dance.
A good win Friday night. You go up there, you jump on them early, you take care of business, and you get out of there with a win. And I watched a lot of it. That had a business feel, a business trip feel to it.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. We had a great, mindset. I know you guys have heard the issues we had traveling to get there, and I thought we handled, all those like a pro. And we just had a very, intense and mindful purpose. And I thought we played, pretty well. We did some good things. And, so to go up there on the road and get a win. And like I said, their record wasn't all that hot, but they were a lot better than their record stated. And like I said, they could have, should have almost beat Vanderbilt. And, Vanderbilt could have, should have beat South Carolina the next week. So it was a deceptive team from a record standpoint, and I was proud of how we played.
Tell the people what happened on the way up. Let people know.
Well, we were scheduled to leave at around 12:30, and got here, and right before practice, they said it was going to be delayed. We practiced in the morning there, like we always do before we leave, and right before practice, going into the meeting, they told me that the plane was going to be delayed, a couple hours. So we still went ahead with our schedule. We met a little bit longer and still went ahead with our practice. And then about halfway through practice, Eric Bartlett comes out and says, and I saw him walking to me, and I said, "This ain't good." he said the flight's been canceled, working on getting another plane and all that. So by the end of practice, which was around 10 o'clock, 10:30, trying to find a flight, and we got one and didn't leave now till 5:30, 5 o'clock. And, the buses, we had three buses to take us to Smyrna, and one didn't show up, so we crammed everybody into two buses, and we got up there. It's Eastern time. We got into the hotel about 9:15 and, you know, had our dinner and went to bed, you know. So just a long day, and you know how much travel wears you out anyway. And it just felt like we were all day. We were, you know, on a bus or on a plane.
So from that standpoint, for your team to come out, and we're talking with the Middle Tennessee coach, Rick Stockstill, from that standpoint, for your team to come out and perform the way they did, how satisfying was that, Coach?
Yeah, and that's what, you know, John, I go back to that, you know, I said it after the game, that just, you know, with all that adversity, but all that, you know, the change, you know, of the mental wear and tear of you, of, you know, you come over here, practice, you're getting ready, now you got to go home, and, you know, we had to change, tried to get food for them to eat because, you know, we were going to have it on the plane. Now we didn't have it on the plane for lunch. And, you know, just, you know, they handled it in a very mature way. And, you know, like I said, that their mental focus, their mental intensity, you know, was really good.
How about your quarterback, Coach? Another solid game for him, Chase Cunningham, 297 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. I know we ask you about him every week, but it seems like with each passing week, he's getting more and more command of the offense.
Yeah, Chase has really done a nice job and, you know, played really well the other night. And, again, the biggest thing, he protected the ball and didn't turn it over. And when you do that and you create some takeaways, you know, it enhances your chances to win. And but, you know, he did some good things with his feet. You know, he extended some plays and, you know, hit Jimmy for a touchdown on a scramble. Threw a nice ball to Prince in there for another touchdown. And, you know, he had a couple, you know, quarterback draw runs that, you know, converted into first down. So really proud of how Chase is playing. And he's just got to continue to, you know, to play within the offense and with himself. And he's got, you know, good people around him. He doesn't have to do it all. Just, you know, be a distributor, be a point guard of the offense.
Plus 20. You have 20 takeaways. I think going into the game, you had 17. That was third best in the country. I don't know where the 20 ranks. Hadn't looked this week, but you're one of the top two or three in takeaways. How important, obviously, and know how important that is, but just to have that many opportunities for your offense when you're taking the ball away.
Yeah, it's critical, Greg, and we're number one. We're tied with Iowa for number one for most takeaways. We're not number one in turnover ratio, but we're in the top 10 in that. You know, so it's critical. Our guys, you know, like I've said, you know, we spend an enormous amount of time on it. I talk about it daily. I talk to about it after every game on Sunday. I talk about it, you know, constantly during the week, and our coaches do the same. And, you know, our players take pride in, you know, making a play and, you know, not being a hand clapper. And
in red zone success, too, 20 of 22, 91%. And sometimes that could be a little misleading if the only thing you're doing is kicking field goals. But of the 20, 16 are touchdowns. You have 14 straight red zone trips you've scored.
Yeah, we've done a good job there. And it's really, you know, out of 21 because one of them, that first game against Monmouth, I just took a knee down there.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, on fourth down because I didn't want to run up the score on those guys at the end of the game. So, but we've done a really good job, you know, disappointing against UConn that, you know, two of those trips ended up in field goals that felt like we should have knocked them in for touchdowns. But, you know, again, we spend a lot of time on it in August, red zone stuff, and we spend a lot of time up during the course of the year, the course of the week of practice doing the same. So our players, our coaches have done a nice job of, you know, game planning stuff that when we get down there, we're scoring.
Does the play calling change? Obviously, you have less a field to work with. Does it change, or you just keep doing what you did to get you there?
You know, probably a little bit of both. You know, Greg, you got to change some because, like you said, the field is condensed, and you know, you try to get the ball in the passing game. You try to get the ball to your bigger targets. You know, Jimmy and CJ and Prince and Isaiah, those guys, because they're bigger targets down there. You know, if we can continue to be able to run the ball more efficiently like we did last week, that'll continue to help us. But, you know, there's a few things that you do because of your study of their red zone defense that, you know, may be more advantageous there than it is in the open field.
Coach, how about your defense, the way they performed last Friday night? You mentioned it, you know, UConn came in and put up, you know, a good amount of points against Vanderbilt on the road, you know, to hold those guys to 13 in their place. Pretty good job by the D, no?
Yeah, John, you're right. You know, created three takeaways, you know, one touchdown and two field goals. And, you know, probably the biggest disappointment, you know, of the defense was we gave up an explosive play, you know, there right before the end of the half. After we had scored, they went down and, you know, got a big play and kicked a field goal at the buzzer. But I thought our defense did a really nice job of keeping the ball in front of them. Other than that play, I thought we tackled better. We put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. We got a couple sacks, but, you know, we got back there and harassed him and made him uncomfortable. And, you know, that always is obviously beneficial. But, you know, I thought our defense played really nice, a really good job. And, you know, I thought we played complimentary football. You know, the defense wasn't out there a whole lot, you know, the second half. And that always contributes to, you know, playing well because you're out there fresh. We took the first drive of the second half, you know, 7.5 minutes. And, you know, then they got a 3.5, 3 out, 3 and out. And we come back with another long drive, touchdown. So I think they may have had the ball 9 plays in the third quarter and maybe 18 or 15 the whole second half. You know, we had the ball, I think, 22 minutes, something like that in the second half.
Middle Tennessee football coach Rick Stockstill, Saturday, 2:30, homecoming against Southern Miss. You mentioned a moment ago, if you can continue to run the football, 155 rushing yards against UConn. And I read that it was mostly entirely out of 4 base plays, inside zone, outside zone counter, and quarterback draw. Now, obviously, there are variations of those, but did you simplify the playbook a little bit? I know you're a little lean in the backfield.
Yeah, and because, you know, I felt like we were doing too much the week before or 2 weeks before against Liberty, and we never got anything established. You know, we got some offensive linemen that were out against UConn that got hurt at Liberty, and I just wanted to, you know, those were the only 4 plays we ran. We ran them out of different formations, but, you know, we ran quarterback draw 2 or 3 times, so the majority of our plays were inside and outside zone in a counter here and there. So that's what we hung our hat on. We had a couple running backs out, and then, you know, the linemen that we had out, and, you know, I thought it enabled us to play faster. We weren't thinking as much. We were able to, you know, use our tempo more because we weren't having to adjust or communicate line block, you know, communication in the offensive line for the defense, for the different fronts that we were seeing. And I think it just, you know, obviously it helped and we played better. So hopefully we'll have that same success this week, although we're playing a lot better team.
Yeah, what about Southern Miss? What stands out when you watch them on film, Coach?
You know, just, again, people are going to look at their record and think they're not very good, but, you know, this defense is unbelievable good. They're in the top 5 or so of every defensive statistical category. They're athletic. Their front and linebackers, they come from everywhere. They're going to create a lot of havoc, a lot of pressure. we've got to do a good job of handling that and avoiding negative plays, negative yardage plays. So we've got to do a good job there. That's the frightening part. They've had injuries at the quarterback position. They're starting to get a little bit healthier there. They got the same guy now for the third or fourth straight week. Their receivers are big and can roll. And Frank Gore's son's a running back, and he's a good player. But it's a good team with a deceptive record.
Homecoming, add any more distractions with more things you have to deal with?
I don't think so. Not anymore, Greg. They don't ask us to build the floats and stuff like that. when we were in college and all that, and really, with all the COVID stuff, there's still, you got to be careful of that, and just, like I always tell them, homecoming is for, the alumni and the students, and, we want to make it a fun homecoming for them. And but no, we won't be out there, building floats or going to parades.
Rick, as always, thanks. Good luck Saturday. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you, Coach.
Yeah, John, you guys have a great week.
All right. Thank you. Rick's not building floats.
They're not out.